SEC fans, this is John Crist from Saturday Down South. Welcome to another installment of the SDS podcast. Coming to you from the iHeartMedia studio, WDAE in Tampa, Florida, 620 AM and 95.3 FM. You can follow me on Twitter at SaturdayJC. Our guest for this episode is Kentucky kicker Austin McGinnis. He's the reigning SEC Special Teams Player of the Week after a 3-for-3 performance in a win at South Carolina this past Saturday. You can follow him on Twitter at AMcGinnis8. Austin, thank you so much for joining me on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course, anytime. Before we get rolling, the Saturday Down South podcast is brought to you by Crystal. If you're listening to the Saturday Down South podcast, you know the South loves football. You know the South also loves Crystal. That's right. The Crystal Burger, the classic, the one you grew up with, they're ready to hook you up at your tailgate. The Crystal, just 79 cents all day, every day. You enjoyed it in college well past midnight, 79 cents all day, every day. Now's the time to load up on your Crystals. And because no tailgate is complete without chicken wings, Crystal has you covered there as well. All wings, any wings, only 49 cents each, Saturdays and Sundays. Boneless, traditional, buffalo, barbecue, any wing, any flavor, 49 cents each all weekend long. Best of all, Crystal is taking care of our podcast listeners this fall. Text SDS, the letters SDS, to 37793. Right now, you're getting two free Crystals. SDS to 37793 via text message. Free Crystals, 79-cent Crystals, 49-cent wings. I guarantee if you show up at your tailgate with a steamer pack of Crystals, you're going to be awarded MVP honors. Stop by your local Crystal today. And now, finally, Austin McGinnis. Austin, needless to say, it's a big week in Lexington. Florida comes to town, 30-game winning streak in the series, and I know you're sick and tired of guys like me asking you about it.
Yeah, we are. We are. We're looking forward to hosting the Gators this weekend and hopefully showing an improved team out there that can get the job done. It's been a long time, way past my years.
Now, before we talk about the Gators, let's look back at South Carolina. You're 3-for-3 in that game, and across the field, the Gamecock kickers were actually 0-for-3. I think it's safe to say that special teams were the difference in that game. We always focus on offense and defense because it's easier to grade those things. But special teams as a whole were a huge, huge part of that game, and that's why you were honored the way you were by the conference.
Yeah, I think often special teams gets taken for granted. But, you know, our coaches always preach that it's, you know, a third of the game, and special teams in the SEC are often the difference, because teams are so easily matched that a few special team plays here and there can, you know, be the outcome of the game.
Now, let me ask you this question. I'm guessing kicking is about 90% mental. What happens if the guy on the other team is struggling? I know if you miss a kick, sometimes that can play with your head a little bit. Confidence is such a big part of what you do for this Wildcats team. But across the way, you saw two separate kickers having all kinds of issues. Does that have any effect on what goes through your head before you go out there?
No, I don't let the other team affect what I'm thinking. I know, you know, the work that I put in, so I'm confident each and every time I step out on the field. But us kickers, we're like a big fraternity, so I felt for the guys on the other team. I've been through that. I've had some bad games in my career, but I know that they'll bounce back. And I know one of them was like a freshman, so I'm sure he's got a bright future ahead of him, but I'm glad we could also get the win. So I was very happy to get that win in South Carolina.
Now, I'm interested in your specific routine on the sideline. And I want you to take some time and give me some detail. So when the Cats had the ball and they're driving down the field, what is your specific routine getting ready to potentially be called out there, be it for a 50-yard bomb or just a chip shot extra point? You know, when do you go over to the net? How many attempts do you take? How much are you truly paying attention to the play-by-play itself? Kind of walk me through that works when the guys in blue have the ball.
All right, so, you know, once our offense gets the ball, I'll kick, you know, one ball into the net once our offense, you know, gets possession of the ball and make sure that I'm loose, because you never know how long it's going to be in between kick to kick. And the whole time that our offense has the ball, I'm kind of focusing in on my breathing. So I'm just trying to stay in the moment, really. And something I also do to stay sharp during the game is I visualize myself making kicks from the sidelines. So you'll see me just staring up at the clouds, but really I'm visualizing myself making kicks from the sidelines.
So no amateur astronomy. There's actually something going on there.
Exactly. I'm not lost out there.
Okay, so I was an NFL guy for a while before coming back to college football. I covered the Chicago Bears for 6 years, and Robbie Gould was there the whole time. At the time, okay, he was one of the more accurate kickers in NFL history and a phenomenal guy to talk to as well. And we've gotten very detailed on what he sees and how specific his job can be. And he equated a lot of it to golf. He was a very good golfer, and he talked about the tempo of his leg was very similar to the tempo of a golf swing. He talked about picking out a target between the goalposts, maybe even a specific jersey that he saw a fan wearing. That's his target and where he's going to aim when he lines up. The process you have during the actual kick itself, walk me through that, how it works.
So, yeah, he's very right. Robbie Gould is fantastic kicker, and so it's very important for us kickers to pick a target and aim small, miss small, like the Patriots. I love using that quote. But so when I get out on the field, I take a deep breath, and the first thing I do is choose a target that's, you know, higher than the uprights and further back than them. So whether that's, you know, some fan in the stands or it's a letter on the scoreboard, just anything that I can really focus in on, because if you're aiming for the whole upright, you're not going to have good results. And so once I take my steps back, I'll check that target again, make sure I'm all aligned, and I take another deep breath. And then you just kind of want to clear your mind. You don't want to be thinking too much, because that's going to cause mistakes. You've done it 1,000 times, 10,000 times probably. And so once the ball snaps, it's just reaction. You got your target picked out, and you just try to kick to your target. You don't want to try to aim it.
Now, you talk about the snap of the ball. Obviously, that's crucial. You know, long snapper is just a forgotten position in the sport. Holder is a much more difficult job than people realize. But tell me what goes through your mind if the snap isn't perfect, if the hold isn't perfect. Obviously, if you have even the slightest bit of hesitation as you're approaching the ball, that can be the kiss of death right there. So how do you find a way to block that out, or is it just reaction? You can't help yourself sometimes if it's a bouncing snap, or maybe you see the laces and you know you're not supposed to.
Yeah, in the case of a bad snap, you just got to do your best to react and put it through the uprights. But a lot of that goes into training. And so I work with my long snapper and holder. Shout out to Blake and Tristan, by the way. These guys work so hard, and they, you know, they never get any of the love. If something good happens on the field goal team, people are always saying my name, but these guys put in tons of work behind the scenes, and I also choose my own holder. So we have a unique situation where we have our punt snapper who does long snaps. He actually holds for me on field goals because I trust him the most, and he's got the best hands. So I got faith in him that if we get any, you know, a mishap or a bad snap, that he's going to get the ball down and I'm going to kick through. And, you know, we'll practice that during practice too, so that it's not, you know, a crazy moment when it happens.
So you'll actually practice an intentional bad snap?
Yeah, we'll roll him back there to him, you know, bounce him, throw him back shoulder, just any what way, so that when he gets in the game, it's easy. Because you always want practice to be harder than the game.
I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, another thing that Robbie has admitted to me once or twice is that, you know, offense gets most of the periods and defense gets most of the periods. And yeah, you got some special teams periods in practice here and there. But for the most part, the kickers, the punters, the snappers, they're kind of off to themselves during practice. And Robbie admitted he can get bored here and there. And sometimes you have to find some screwy ways just to occupy your time and not kind of go nuts with the boredom. Does that happen with you at all?
Yeah, 100%. We like to create little games as specialists. I mean, we play crossbar a lot, where you continually back up and you're throwing, trying to hit the crossbar. And we'll do fun games here and there. We also do stuff, you know, to keep our bodies healthy. So during practice, we have a ton of downtime. So we'll, you know, we might go work out, or we might go stretch. or we'll do different things just to occupy the time. And like I said, our favorite on Wednesdays, we have like a little specialist competition game day. We'll break into groups and play whatever the games of the day are, and we'll go do that. So it's a good time. But nope. Everyone wants to be a kicker when it's not on Saturdays. Monday through Friday, everyone wants to be a kicker. And then Saturdays, not so much.
Now, I know a lot of what a lot of kickers will do as part of their pregame routine is that they'll line up, they'll get a tee like right there on the pylon, and they'll aim for the goalpost itself and see how straight they can kick the ball and hit that goalpost. It's really fun to watch if you're on the field way early before a game, like I tend to be with my press credential. I assume that's a game you play. And what's kind of your batting average on that before a game?
Yeah, I actually don't do that before the game, but I'll do that in practice all the time. I've just had the same pregame routine since, you know, I was a freshman in high school, so I stick to that. But I'm pretty accurate when it comes to hitting that upright from the pylon. And we'll also move it to the 5-yard line and try to make it through the uprights. It's the just work accuracy. It's like a closer angle. And so it's good to – it all goes back to aim small, miss small. You know, the more accurate you get once you get out there in a game, those yellow posts start looking real wide.
You know, another difference between the college game and the NFL game is the hash marks. And in college, it's actually harder on your particular occupation. In the NFL, I don't think the hash marks make a big difference for a kicker because they're fairly narrow. They're a lot more wider at the college game. So tell me how it does change things, whether you're right smack in the middle of the field or if you're on the right hash or the left hash. I'm wondering, for a kicker like yourself, even that 25-yard chip shot, if you're all the way on the right hash, that can be a little difficult.
Yeah, very true. The hashes in college are much harder than in NFL, and that's why I've always been told that it's easier to kick in the NFL just because of the hashes. But if you're – honestly, if you're that close on, you know, the right upright or right hash 25 yards out, sometimes teams will take a delay of game just to get a better angle because it's so awkward. You don't practice from that close at that angle very often.
Now, pardon my ignorance on the question, but I've never been a kicker. I was a slow, short slot receiver once upon a time. But is there ever an opportunity where, I mean, can you fade the ball when you kick it? Can you draw the ball when you kick it? I know I'm bringing back to golf to some degree. Is there ever a need to do such things based on, you know, maybe the turf is different from the grass or maybe the wind conditions? Do you need to hook it every now and then? Do you need to slice it every now and then? Or is it just kick the sucker as straight as humanly possible?
I think most guys, they go with kick it straight, you know. If you can keep your ball straight, then that's obviously ideal. But sometimes in warm-ups, you know, you're not having your best day. Same thing, you get out there on the driving range and you see that you're, you know, slicing it or you're hooking it. You're going to play to that when you get to, you know, hole one. So it's the same thing. So if I'm kicking a certain day and I see my ball might be tailing left, I'm going to aim a little right for when I get out in the game and when I'm hitting my practice kick. So I'm just going to play to my swing. And obviously most days it's going to be straight, but the days that it's not, you just got to play to it. And sometimes you'll get like a power fade. If you strike it really good, it'll move like left and then come back straight. But most of the time, you just want it to stay straight.
Now, I'm guessing here, but did you punt and kick in high school?
Of course. Yep, I did. And I enjoyed punting, but I'm short, so I didn't think I had a good shot.
Well, this is sort of leading me to my question here. You know, at most high schools, if you have a guy who's going to go D1 as a kicker, chances are he punts as well, and vice versa, because they're the ones who have that Herculean leg. But when you get to college, when you get to the pros, of course, things become much more specialized and much more specific. I'm curious, you did punt in high school. I assume you were fairly good at it. Why haven't we gotten to the point, even every now and then, seeing a guy who does both jobs, having a guy who can kick and punt, be successful at both? If anything, if I'm a coach, I would love to have that. Maybe I can have one extra scholarship. I can give a defensive back or a wide receiver. If you're in the NFL, maybe you'll have to carry one fewer specialist, and that opens up some cap money for a backup pass rusher or something like that. Why is it so specialized, and could you do both jobs aside from an emergency situation?
I think it's real difficult to do both jobs once you get up into the collegiate NFL level, and one reason for that is just the leg, the amount of kicks on your leg, the wear and tear on your leg. If you're having to work on punting, kickoffs, and field goals, you're going to hit a lot more balls than someone who is just doing field goals and kickoffs or just punting and kicking off. So there's a lot more reps that go into it, and I think that's one reason that people don't do it. And then the second, I just think that it's hard to – it's you have to be so good in college, and especially the NFL, you have to be so talented that it's rare to see guys who are that consistent in kicking and punting. And there are some guys who do it. Like, I know Oklahoma has a guy who does all three for them, Austin Siebert. But it's very rare to see – guys that can compete against a pure punter that also are just as good as field goals and kickoffs. And I often think, like, people underestimate how important having a good punter and kicker is. Like, yeah, you'd want to maybe get another backup D-end on your team, but you don't want to sacrifice any amount of talent on your punter or kicker just so you can have maybe a, you know, third or fourth string D-end. I think that you got to put some value on the punters and kickers because they get their ball, the punters get the balls in their hands, you know, quite a few a game, and kickers are putting points on the board. So, especially the NFL games are so close that you don't want to sacrifice anything.
So it sounds like you're telling me that your leg has a little bit of a pitch count on it, and you can't just kick all day long. There will be some fatigue that kicks in, and maybe some bad habits, what have you, to get off the wrong plane. So it sounds like there is a such thing as too much kicking, is what you're telling me.
For sure. I always tell people to relate kicking to pitching. So you're not going to throw your star pitcher every night. You're going to throw him maybe, you know, twice a week. And that's kind of what we do for kicking. So I don't kick every single day. During practice or during the season, I kick on Tuesdays and Thursdays and then on Saturdays. So I get some pretty decent rest in between days so I can stay fresh.
All right, my last nuts and bolts question about kicking in particular. I'm curious about your responsibilities on the kickoff team. What are you specifically told? Does anybody tell you, Austin, get away and don't make tackles unless you absolutely have to? We have to protect that leg of yours. Are you simply last line of defense if a guy like Deebo Samuel breaks contain? Or do you have free reign to fill a lane, go down there, and knock somebody out?
Well, Coach Stoops probably wants me to stay out of the hunt. But I'm supposed to be a free safety, so I'm supposed to just cover to the left side of the field. And ideally, everyone just wants me to hit a good kickoff that's a touchback or really high so they can't return it past the 20. But in case, you know, everything breaks loose, I got to be there to make the tackle. I'm too competitive not to make the tackle if a guy's running at me and I think I can get him. So I'm going to stick my nose in there. And I actually had two tackles against Eastern Kentucky, which is, you know, career high for me. I was really excited after that game.
Every kicker I've ever talked to says, hey, we're football players too, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we put a ton of work into it as well. It might not be seen all the time, but, you know, we care about the team and we just want to win ball games like everyone else. And so if we got to make a tackle, you know, we're gonna try to make the tackle.
Okay, the SDS podcast is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. For as long as we've been covering football, people always want to know predictions and picks against the spread. Well, one of the things not often mentioned, where you bet is sometimes just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we always send our folks to MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has been in the business for years, fantastic reputation, 100% cash bonuses, so you are in the black from the jump. Most importantly, they have some of the fastest payouts in the industry, just 2 business days. You don't have to wait by the mailbox for a paper check. This week has some very interesting lines. Georgia is still a 5.5-point favorite against red-hot Mississippi State. And Austin might be interested to know that Kentucky is still getting 3 points from Florida. So if you think this is the year the Wildcats pull this off against the Gator, this might be the time to look up our friends at MyBookie. Their mobile site is tremendous and so easy. Get in on the action. MyBookie's going to match your deposit up to 100%. Use the promo code SDS. Activate this offer for week 4 of the college football season. That's promo code SDS. Austin, whatever you do, please don't do that. That's strictly for our listeners. Visit mybookie.ag today. Let's talk about the game coming up on Saturday. A year ago, going into Gainesville, a lot of people like this Kentucky team coming into the season, but you had the meltdown against Southern Miss, and then you go down to Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, and I think it's just safe to say that the wheels came off. I believe it was 45-7, and it seemed like the disparity between the two programs was as big as ever. Again, it's a year later. I don't think Coach Stoops is going to mind. What was the mindset of the team going into that game after what happened against the Eagles just 7 days prior?
I think we got a little devastated when we lost game one because we were up big in that game. Everyone was feeling good about themselves, and then to drop off in third and fourth quarter and to lose that game, I think it was a little bit of a shell shock for the guys. And when you go down to the swamp, it's always a tough place to play. And so you gotta be sharp when you're down there. And I think maybe our confidence was just wavering a little bit. And it was a primetime game, 3:30 CBS, 90 degrees in the swamp, and we didn't bring it. And Florida got the best of us once again. So I think we're a new team this year. I think people remember that, but I think that we came so far last season to finally go to a bowl game. We got over that hump. We beat a team that was ranked. We had a lot of milestones from that point. So honestly, I don't think that score is in the minds of the team right now. I think we kind of think of ourselves as a new team, new year, new opportunity to, have a great competition with the guys who have been winning the East for the past 2 years.
Now you say that, but as I understand it, the birdies that I have in your neck of the woods in Lexington, I hear that the film from that game was being showed at the facility, or at least the broadcast was, as recently as yesterday. Maybe Coach Stoops is trying to find a way to remind you that this can't possibly happen again. So how much has that result from a year ago been talked about? I know you try to forget about it and maybe throw away that film altogether, but I'm guessing it could be motivating as well. You do not want to be embarrassed like that again.
Yeah, we always, if we had a bad game the year before, we'll always run the tape in the weight room consistently. So when you're working out that week, you see the film, and it will add some extra motivation. And I think that, we talk about it modestly. I mean, it's not our sole motivation. Our sole motivation this year is to go out and win the East. And that's been our goal since the very beginning. And I think beating Florida is the right step because, like I said, they've been the top dogs, so they're the ones who you have to knock off if you want to be number one in the East. And for me, that's what it's more about because, obviously, I want the streak to end, but I haven't been here, 30 years, but they have beaten me all, 3 years that I've played here, so they're a team that I definitely, they're on my bucket list that I want to get a win over because there's a couple teams that I haven't beat in my career at Kentucky, and it would mean a lot to know that we got over that hump and beat these big-time SEC football schools when we're, mostly considered a basketball school. So it'd be big time.
Yeah, I'm guessing you guys are 180 degrees different this year from where you were a year ago because you're 3-0 coming into this game. You just had an upset at South Carolina. Well, the people in Las Vegas say it was an upset. I bet the guys in your locker room didn't think that was an upset at all. The mind frame coming into a game at home, of course, protecting your house, going to be under the lights. I'm guessing this is a perfect scenario that you mapped out before the season, getting ready for this particular game. You never want to look ahead to week 4 when you're in fall camp, but this is the exact position you wanted to be in. I imagine confidence is at an all-time high.
Exactly. I mean, this is definitely a game that We've all had circled. You got to take it 1 week at a time in football, because like Coach Stoops always says, a win is a win no matter who you're playing against. But now we're finally here. We're 3-0. The fan base is going to be electric on Saturday. It's going to be, you know, probably the best environment that I've ever played in the Commonwealth Stadium. Or Kroger Field, excuse me, Kroger Field.
Make the sponsors happy. Trust me, I know.
I'm sorry, Kroger. I shop there, so it's all good. But it's going to, yeah, it's just going to be a great atmosphere. And, you know, it's awesome. This is why you play the game of football, to put it all on the line against a great football team. You know, you've put in the work, and just to let it rip on Saturday. And if we can get the result, it's going to be amazing. So I think the team's ready, and, you know, it'll all come down to how we play.
I have to admit, I'm feeling a little bit justified because your readership, your fan base gives me a little bit of a hard time every now and then. Because every time I write a Kentucky column, whether it's praising you guys or you know, maybe not praising you guys, I find some way of referencing the fact that Kentucky's a basketball school, and that ticks them off. They don't like it. They want me to just to focus on football and stop forgetting about this basketball stuff. But you brought it up before I did. Kentucky's a basketball school. It always has been. It always will be. If you guys don't capture people's attention by March Madness, by Midnight Madness, it's probably not going to happen. So I'm curious what it's like being a football player at a school like that. Does it take away from the football experience when the true gods on campus are the basketball players? You know, I went to Florida State. The gods on campus when I was there, of course, were the football players. Basketball, we just weren't that into it. So your experience as a football player at maybe the biggest basketball school in America.
Well, I was a little shell-shocked when I got here because I went to high school in Alabama, and in Alabama, football reigns all. You know, we got big powerhouses there, and Alabama high school football, the whole town loves it. It's a big deal. So when I first got onto campus at Kentucky, I was like, oh my goodness, like, we're not the top dogs. Like you're saying, basketball is the top dogs. And it was a different feeling, and I kind of used that as my motivation and, you know, inner chatter in the locker room, like, let's turn this thing around. Like, we're always going to be a great basketball school. And you can call us, you might say we're never going to be a football school just because of how good our basketball team is. The recruits they get, the job Coach Calipari does is just second to none. It's just unbelievable. But we can also have a good football program. There's nothing stopping that. We got brand new facilities. We have a great coach. Coach Stoops is getting us going the right direction. So just from my time being at Kentucky, I've seen a shift. And it all comes from winning ball games. So the more you win, the more, you know, people are going to get into football, the more they're going to show up, and the more it's going to be, okay, well, you know, who's to say we can't be good at both sports? Like, there's teams that I'm not going to speak of them, but our rivals, they do a pretty good job at football and basketball. And, you know, there's nothing to say that we can't be the same and, you know, be ranked in football and ranked in basketball. So I think that's hopefully where we can get going. But you know, to do that, we have to beat teams like Florida. You know, we can't go on these tremendous lose streaks against them, losing streaks. We have to, you know, step up and beat the big dogs, and that's the only way you're going to gain respect. And so, I mean, I look at it pretty honestly, and I think our fans do a great job supporting us through and through. But until we're winning big games, like the basketball is winning big games, you know, we're just not going to get the same respect.
Yeah, one of the rites of spring as a television viewer watching basketball at March Madness is Ashley Judd, maybe at a regional final, cheering on the Wildcats. What needs to happen for Ashley Judd to go to a football game? Do you have to win on Saturday? I mean, come on. I mean, fire up on Twitter. You got to get her to go to a game.
I think if we win on Saturday, anyone who claims to be a Kentucky fan should be at our next home game or the next big home game we have, because if we win on Saturday, we'll be sitting pretty. It's a big deal, and we would love to, you know, have the support of these big-time celebrities and fans, along with every other fan of the BBN. You know, come out and support us, because it means a lot. It helps us play better. The louder that the BBN is when we're on defense, you know, the harder it makes it for Florida to play. We get it when we go on the road. You know, let's have some home field advantage.
I know Coach Stoops is telling you one game at a time. I know he's telling you just pay attention to the film and don't worry about the names on the back. Don't worry about the colors. Don't worry about the tradition. Just do your job, but come on. I mean, that's got to be incredibly difficult to do. There's no way you can tell me that this is just another football game. There's too much at stake, too much going on. What would a win Saturday mean for this program?
Oh, it would be huge. It'd be up there with the best win since I've been here. It would just be another milestone that we've achieved as a team. I've gotten the pleasure to be with Coach Stoops since he's gotten to Kentucky. I redshirted my first year, which was his first year of coaching, and so we've just been on this journey together. And it's been awesome as far as we've come now, but we want to see how far we can push this thing. We got a lot of great seniors. We got a good football team, and there's no better time than now to get the job done.
Austin, thank you so much for joining me, and best of luck on Saturday.
Awesome, thank you, John.
That was Austin. I'm sorry, that was Kentucky kicker Austin McGinnis. The Wildcats host Florida at Kroger Field on Saturday night. The entire Bluegrass State will be paying attention. Remember to follow him on Twitter at AMcGinnis8. And thank you for listening to the Saturday Down South podcast. Special thanks to our friends at WDAE in Tampa, as well as our sponsors, Crystal and MyBookie. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever your favorite podcast is available. Be sure to give the show a rating as well. My name is John Crist, and for all SEC all the time, visit SaturdayDownSouth.com.